read about it in just a moment. But tonight I want to encourage you with this thought. Look what God can do. And let's pray and we'll consider the text. Lord, thank you for what you do. Nothing is impossible. And sometimes we can forget that because we can believe our eyes. And our eyes don't tell us what faith tells us. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to look to you. And then we will have the song in our heart, nothing is impossible. And we'll see you do great things. Thank you for being this kind of God. And I pray that you'd encourage us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to take a break from our series in Proverbs for tonight and take a look at a familiar miracle. And it's a simple message, but it's my desire that it be an encouragement to us. Matthew chapter 14, we'll start in verse 14. It says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and two fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." I want to just point out some things along the way as we go through this text and relate them to things that I saw this week and how the Lord was working and some similarities in how he worked in this text. First of all, Christ sees our need. And in verse 14, it says, "Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion, and he healed their sick." It wasn't Christ who was alone. He wasn't all by himself. His disciples were with him. But it was Christ who went forth. It was Christ who saw the great multitude. And I don't know how you are. Sometimes you can see a multitude and you don't see individuals. It's just a mass of people. But Christ didn't just see this mass, faceless, nameless mass of people. He was moved with compassion toward them. That only happens when you see individuals. And it was Christ who was moved. It was Christ who healed their sick. He is the one who is doing all these things. Christ sees and knows what we need. We are aware of our needs as well, but he sees with perfect clarity what we really need. And I'm often reminded of how I can have this, you know, this thing. Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh, and we can have something that feels like a thorn in the flesh. It's really irritating. It grabs all our attention. We want this thing resolved, and Lord, take this away. And he says, that's not your real problem. I see your real problem. Your real problem is something over here that's producing this. This is a symptom. This over here is the root. Christ sees our real need. And when we go to him with that burden, we go to him with that issue, he will resolve the real need. We are aware of things that we need, but he sees with perfect clarity what we really need. Today, this morning, there were people that needed comfort. There were people that needed encouragement. People needed to see God at work. People needed to see God's grace and strength. People needed God's wisdom. The Lord knew all of this, and he gave it. I saw and experienced this myself. I was blessed to see once again the great things that God can do. I'm so thankful he knows what we need. Turn to Psalm 139, and we see this spirit reflected in these verses by the psalmist. Psalm 139, the Lord sees us. He knows exactly what we need. He doesn't just see a mob of people that are clamoring for his attention and they're a nuisance and a burden. He sees individuals and he knows exactly what every single individual needs, and he meets those needs. Psalm 139, verse 1, David says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. If you're hiding from God and run like Jonah, if you're running from God, if you're trying to hide your sin, that's a scary thing. That's a frightening statement. But if you are trying to live before the Lord and follow him, the fact that he is acquainted with all your ways is a very comforting thing. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. What a blessing. He's everywhere. He's wherever we need him to be. He is on every side. And laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. We find ourselves in maybe geographically distant places. We find ourselves in spiritually dark and hidden places, and we wonder if God's there. He is there. He sees it all. He sees our need. He knows exactly what we need, and he supplies it. He supplied that today. It's good for us to remember that. Let's go back to Matthew 14, and we'll see the next thing. Matthew 14. Verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. I want us to see that Christ is not limited, but he's the only one. It was getting dark. The day was limited. The day is drawing to a close. The end is near. It was a desert and a remote place. Resources were limited. His disciples say that, behold, this is a desert place, so send the multitude away that they may go into the villages. We're not in a village. We're not here. There's not a supermarket down the street. There's not a Super Walmart or a Hugo's that they can go to. They need to scatter and go to the villages because this is a huge crowd and no one store can handle them all. And we don't have the food. There's not nothing to forage for around here. This is a desert place. The resources are limited. It was a difficult place. The disciples lacked wisdom on how to meet the need because they were telling the Lord, this is what you need to do. Do you see around us? We don't know how to meet this need. This is what you should do. But Christ was not limited. He had the solution all the time. He told them, they need not depart. I know their need. I know this place, and they don't need to depart. They don't need to go anywhere. And it makes me question, you know, I understand why these disciples said what they did, but when I think of it more from a principle standpoint, the idea of departing from Christ being the answer for our need is exactly the opposite of what is true. It wouldn't be the answer to the multitude's problems. This is the Son of God. Why couldn't he meet their needs? But too often, we start to look and compute with our own intelligence and say, well, I see what's... They need to do this. And in this case, they were counseling that these people leave the presence of the Lord. I've seen that the past few days, time has been a challenge to have everything planned and prepared for the funeral. Death is never something that you plan on. and time has been a challenge. But the Lord is not limited. Today, the weather posed a threat to attendees wanting to come to the funeral, and I'm sure that you wondered some of that too, just like I did. Are people going to stay away? Are we going to even have it? Do we have to cancel? Do we have to postpone? Will it just be a few? I mean, what will happen? The weather posed a threat. Weather posed a threat to church members coming to serve. I had a phone call with someone, and they said, I'm going to try to be there, but it's possible I won't be able to come because of the weather. And then you're thinking, you know, what if then? And these were things that were out of our control. Limits, we are reminded of our limits, but God is not limited. He brought the arrangements together right on time. Everything was provided for and arranged and scheduled and organized. He kept the weather from hindering lost visitors in coming. And I don't know how many people wanted to come, but I know that this place was packed. The auditorium was packed. I was looking out at the seats and the seating, and we had put extra seating out compared to what we were expecting. And it was, again, I think I said, I count on this hand how many seats were empty. There were lots of people coming. He kept the weather from hindering church members from coming. I'm not aware of anyone who is scheduled to serve who couldn't be here and serve. That's a blessing. And maybe there was someone I haven't heard about, but I'm not aware of it. He kept last-minute challenges from interrupting the day. I got here, and Kevin was here. He did some shoveling beforehand, and I got here. And then the funeral home got here, and there were some things we had to juggle, and I didn't expect, and the Lord worked it out. Last-minute challenges and things that could have gotten in the way. God is not limited. We are, but God is not. I find these verses comforting that talk about God's limitless power. Job 42, verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Luke 18:27, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. A rephrasing of the Mark verse. Genesis 18:14, God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Christ's disciples only saw limitations, and so they crafted a plan to try to mitigate these limitations. But Christ is not limited. With God, all things are possible. And many of you were praying, and others were praying who were not here tonight. I spoke with someone who is not here, not able to be here, but they were praying and called me to tell me they were praying for me and praying for the service, and continuing to pray, and I'm sure there were others like that, and God answered. He's not limited. It's good for us to remember this. Let's go back, if maybe you're still there, in Matthew 14. Let's read verses 16 to 18. It says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. But they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. Thirdly, Christ works when we give up. The disciples were not prepared or capable of feeding a crowd this size. The disciples could not buy anywhere near enough food. You look in some of the other gospels and they talk about 200 pennyworth of bread. And I'm reminded of the parable of the landowner who was hiring servants to work in his vineyard that day, and he paid them a penny for a day's work. So 200 pennies would be 200 days, most of a year. And you do the math to convert that daily wage to today's dollars, and it's a big sum. And they're saying almost a year's worth of wages would not be enough to feed this crowd. What do you think we can do about this? The crowd, and here's the other thing, the crowd's hunger was not the disciples' responsibility either. But they were throwing their hands up saying, what are we supposed to do? In John 6 reference, the synoptic account of this, verse 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And in essence, this is essentially saying, what's the point of even trying? It's not going to be enough. What, are we going to pinch off just a little bit for part of the crowd? What's the point? This is so tiny. And when we give up on our own abilities, that's when God can work. And I did not hear any kind of attitude of discouragement at all from anyone. I'm not saying that there was that. But I did hear many people, as folks prepared for the funeral this morning, I did hear many people talk about depending on God's abilities. And we can give up not just, we can give up with an exasperated attitude. Well, I just give up. But we can also give up joyfully. I'm not going to rely on myself. I'm just going to rely on the Lord. I'm not even going to lean to my own understanding, lean to my own strength, because I know it's not going to be enough. I'm just going to let the Lord do this. And I saw a lot of that. I heard people talking about that. That is the act of faith, relying on God to accomplish His work. Anna has put in countless hours over the years preparing meals for other people. It was a blessing to be a blessing to her and the rest of the family. But many people were thrust into new roles this week to make that happen. God needed to do the work. Some were in kitchen roles that were new to them here at church. Maybe they'd done that sort of thing elsewhere, but never here like this. Some folks were involved in a more difficult, perhaps musical role than ever before. Some gave up many daytime and evening hours to work and to prepare. And we can think about that preparation and, you know, the morning has arrived and you think, is it going to be enough? Is it going to go well? Well, yes, but only if we move out of the way and let God work. And He did. Look what God can do. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Here's an example of what God can do. Mark 7:31, and again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, He came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis, and they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. And He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. They couldn't keep it quiet. They wanted to praise the Lord. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I love that phrase. He hath done all things well. And that's what God does. He works when we give up. We tend to say something like, God, my needs are so great and my resources so small. And just like Christ said to the disciples, God says to us, bring them to me. I like how the Lord said that. In verse 18, they say, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And he said, "Bring them hither to me. I can make them enough. I can do something with them. It's not too little for me to work with." And when we give up and let God work through us, that is when our tiny resources will be made to be enough. Fourthly, Christ does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Let's go back to Matthew 14 and we'll see the end of this miracle. Again, a familiar passage. We know what happens. But if you stop and think about it, sort of look at it with new eyes and picture it happening, it should amaze you all over again. It really is an amazing miracle. Matthew 14, 19. "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." I imagine there were probably some skeptical or doubting people in that crowd. Maybe some were smirking at the sight of Christ praying over 5 loaves and 2 fish. And maybe, this is a big crowd. How many? 20,000 people, perhaps. And so some of them were a distance removed from the Lord. And maybe they're, "What's he doing? I don't know. Is that a boy's lunch? What's he going to do with that?" And maybe some were making wisecracks. With around 20,000 people seated before him, and then Christ did far beyond their wildest imaginations. There was enough food to distribute to all the disciples for distribution. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, there were 12 disciples, and there was enough food for each of them. But not only that, there was enough food to distribute to all the people. Wow, this might go far enough. Wow, everyone got something. But not only that, there was enough food to satisfy the hunger of all the people. This may be the biggest buffet we've ever seen. And they were all full. Some people make it their personal mission to go to a buffet and clean it out. And the 20,000 people couldn't clean it out. They were all full. And then there was enough food left over to fill 12 baskets full. This is exceeding abundantly above all that they asked or thought. They were too busy thinking probably about just a little bit. If everyone can get a snack, that's better than nothing. But they had a full meal. They walked away full and there was more food left over. I didn't talk with anyone else leading up to this funeral, and we didn't talk about what fears or doubts we might have, hesitations, or I don't know if this is gonna. I didn't talk like that with anyone, and I doubt you did as well. But there were some questions that occurred to me over the last day or two. Questions like, would the weather allow very many people to come? And I mentioned that already. Would we have to change the program if church members were prevented from coming? And would we have to change the meal if certain people couldn't make it to church because of the weather? Was I sure that I knew what God wanted me to say? And that was something that I was very serious about, took very seriously. Would there be any unexpected mechanical failures that would disrupt things? What if the heat went out? What if an oven quit, or who knows, anything? Would there be very many lost people here to hear the gospel? It's always a wonderful opportunity when you have lost people come, and I wanted to have that chance to preach to them. Would there be very many of them here? Would the Spirit of God be working in hearts? That's the most important part. We can always run ourselves ragged trying to think of everything and account for everything, and I didn't try, and I doubt you did as well, but we should prepare the best we know how and trust the rest to God, and that's what I saw everyone doing. And here is what I saw in the last few days, culminating with today's service. I saw church members volunteering, pitching in, and submitting to each other in unity. letting other people, you know, lead, and I'll just pitch in and help. Oh, I'll give my time here. I'll take care of that. I saw that. I saw church members unselfishly giving of their time and abilities to fill all kinds of needs. I heard so many people say that they were praying for the family and praying for the service in general and praying for me, and these prayers were needed. I saw an auditorium jam-packed with people today. We had about 70 more people than we estimated we would have. You'd never have known there was a blizzard outside. I saw many coworkers and friends and relatives of Kenny here, many of which may never come to church otherwise. In a sense, he invited them to church. And maybe they would never have had a chance to hear the gospel otherwise. I was glad that they were here. I sensed a calm, sweet spirit in the building among attendees and servants. I sensed the Lord helping me all day long. I sensed God's spirit working during the message. God had the people's attention. The gospel was given to listening ears. And there were times I would look out, and I could tell. I didn't spend much time staring at every face, but it was noticeable. I heard many, many appreciative comments afterward about it all. Comments from church folks and visitors from the community. I saw joy on so many faces as they served God by serving others. And I believe I also saw some potential indications of a particular spiritual work that God seemed to be doing that I had not foreseen or even imagined for today, a blessing that I hadn't even considered. God is good. And it reminds me of Ephesians 3:20 that says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And that's a blessing to me, because we know that this isn't the last day of our lives. We assume it's not the last day of our lives. The Lord could come back tonight. We assume this is not the last day. We assume that we know that there are many more things that we need God to do. And so it's a great comfort to know, look at what he has done, because nothing is impossible. So whatever burdens you have on your heart, whatever challenges and trials, remember what God has done. This book is full of them. And if you follow the Lord, your life will be full of them. And you can look at those things that God does for you and look to the future with excitement, because it doesn't matter how impossible it looks. This is the God that we serve. What is needed in order for God to do this sort of thing? Well, again, Matthew 14, verses 17 and 18 say, "And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Pretty hopeless. But then he said, bring them hither to me." So what's needed? We take our finite, tiny resources, whatever it is we have, to God. And he does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I'm sure the family is appreciative of all that went on. I don't want to speak for them. Right now I'm speaking for me. Thank you for all of you giving of yourself, for other members in this body, and most of all, for giving to the work of Christ. Thank you for your unselfish and joyful spirit. Thank you for your prayers and your love for the Lord. He doesn't need much to do his work. He just wants us. He wants us, and he'll do the impossible. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Let me read that again. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." That's exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Abounding in all grace, having all sufficiency in all things, abounding to every good work. God does all things well, and he wants to use us. He wants to take us and do great things in us and through us. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He wants to work in us so that the world stops and says, "Look what God can do. Let's continue to let him do it for his glory." Praise the Lord. Let's pray.